you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome, listening friend, to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's the 23rd of January, 2013. In the studio with me is my good friend, Pastor Jason Schiffo, the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. We're going on, I guess, 14 months.
Yeah.
14 months, something like that. 14, 15 months.
of wedded bliss.
of regular Wednesdays, and I think the last almost 3 months now on Fridays. And we're incorporating you into some other days. In fact, this next week, we're going to have some special interviews, I think on Monday and Tuesday. We'll see how all that comes together. But Lord willing, we're going to speak with Brandon O'Brien, who recently wrote Misreading Scripture with Western Eyes. I'm kind of excited about that interview. We'll see if God orchestrates all that, and we get to have him in. But thanks for joining me again and carving out time in your busy schedule to be a part of the Wednesday and Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And I know you have a couple things you're going to touch base with, but I want to highlight this Friday, everyone, come and join us for our Rabbi Jesus study. We've packed the room so well the last few meetings that I think we're going to officially move downstairs. We're still praying it up because we need to set it all up and get it organized, but we've absolutely packed it shoulder to shoulder on a number of weeks, so we're going to move downstairs where they'll be able to accommodate more of you. So we meet at 6:30 this Friday night at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. Really easy location, right on Route 47, but the specific address for those of you that might use your GPS is
102 South Riverbend Boulevard in Mahomet, Illinois, 61853, and that is on the corner there of Riverbend and Route 47 as you're leaving Mahomet.
And you can get to 47 whether you come in on 72 or 74, or for that matter, 150. Just get on 47, and it's between 72 and 74, right in about the middle. So either way, you can get there. We would enjoy having you. It's this Friday, 6:30, for our continuing series in Rabbi Jesus, but it doesn't matter if you miss some of the past series. They all hold their own.
And this time we're going to gather together and we're going to start working through the individual parables that Jesus taught and what the Jewish nature and background of those, the Hebraic background of those parables are, and how we can look at them with new eyes. It's going to be kind of exciting. So I'd love if you haven't been to any of them and you go, I don't know, I missed a bunch, come on out and let's just jump in Jesus' parables together and begin to walk that ground.
And we've been so excited because of the response and the variety of people representing so many different towns and communities and denominations. This is a community-wide Bible study, and as Jason and I have just been encouraged by so many of you coming out. Some have come to all of them. Some have made it maybe the first or third, or maybe you'll be a new person joining us. Because of what has gone on during those studies, the fellowship, the studying God's Word together, I mean, there's not too many better things that you can do to spend your time with other believers, like-minded believers, or we've even had some seekers or different people. It doesn't matter where you're at in your faith journey. Maybe you've been a senior saint studying God's Word your whole life, or somebody that has never been in a Bible study, and it's kind of a little bit of a stretch for you to come out and meet with all these other people maybe you don't know. Hey, it's a blessing. It'll be worth it. You'll enjoy it. But I share what Jason and I have observed is so many of these people have been excited about studying God's Word. And as Jason and I have been doing a little study through the Merged Gospel, it's a special interview we had some months ago from an author that wrote this Merged Gospel. It's like four biblical accounts of the Bible, kind of put in a unique manner and laid out in such a way that you can really walk in the footsteps of Jesus through the biblical narrative. And he combines the account from Matthew and Luke and Mark. And it's just a really unique way to look at the Gospel, to look at the account of Jesus' life. Well, as Jason and I both independently have been studying, reading, enjoying that, we thought, wouldn't it be neat to invite a number of our listeners to have a community-wide Bible study and go through the Merged Gospel account together? And so we're just starting. Actually, we've been praying that up, and we're looking at a facility that could accommodate maybe 50, maybe 100, maybe 150 of us. I don't know how many of you would enjoy that. I think all of you would enjoy it. It's just how many of you would want to purchase the Merged Gospel along with us and then meet on a regular basis, maybe every other Thursday or the first and third Thursday of every month beginning in April, and study the gospel account through this Merged Gospel book and do that for about an hour, hour and a half. We're thinking Thursday nights, beginning in April, at a central location. So I'm just throwing that out. We're praying it through. I'm looking at options. The first one was the YMCA in Champaign, and they can't accommodate with the setup and the chairs and the tables that we think would be ideal for people to study God's Word together. But I throw that out because we might have a sign-up just to see what the interest would be, but it'd be a community-wide Bible study, probably 10 or 12 weeks, meeting on Thursday nights, maybe the first and third Thursday of every month, around 6:30 or 7 p.m. So that's kind of just something to be aware of, be planning. It'll probably happen that first week in April, and we may have an announcement or a website link where you can sign up and register to purchase the Merged Gospel. It'll probably be somewhere between $10 and $20. I'm looking for a business sponsor to maybe help underwrite some of the costs. So there's a lot of work and planning going into it. But right now, pray up with us that many people from many communities will come together with a heart to study God's Word, and we'll do it through this creative book called The Merged Gospel.
Yeah, it's really interesting. When we look at the word, which means to bring glory to God, which is doxology, it's one of those big religious words that we have. But when you go across all faith traditions, they all define that word the same, whether you're Catholic or Presbyterian, Lutheran, Baptist, whether you're evangelical, free, no matter where you're at, Methodist, that word to bring glory to God is the same. I mean, we sing those hymns like the doxology hymn. All those different faith traditions sing that same hymn. We don't argue about the need to bring glory to God. And when we gather as people from different faith traditions to do that, to bring glory to God, I think we knock down some of those walls. We get in there, we rub shoulders together, and we realize that we're not really all that different. And what a great place to do it than the Merged Gospels. And also, I think some of the wonderful things that we've been experiencing through this Rabbi Jesus study, where we're really just pulling out and shining the light on some specific biblical times where we can narrow down Jesus' Hebraic and Jewish roots and what's happening culturally and socially there. We're going to be able to do that through the four Gospels at one time continually. So we're going to be continually shining that light in there and saying, what's happening here? What's the cultural narrative here, the social narrative, the economic? How is that affecting what's happening then in the four Gospels as we see the story of Jesus' life as he came down, he emptied himself and came and walked amongst us? What's happening there? So I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be good.
And I love the principle or the overarching goal or desire, at least for the radio ministry, to help sponsor and initiate this. And thank you, God, for your gifts of teaching and sharing, but that observation, we're going to look at God's Word, interpretation, we're going to study it together. What does God intend for us to learn, to know, to understand, get the biblical account into our heart and mind, and then make application? How can we take what we just learned in that classroom setting with one another and then influence the kingdom, influence God's Word with some of the application, what we can draw from the Scripture? So I always love when we look at Scripture, observe it, interpret it, and then find a point of application that God would individually put on all of our hearts. So we're going to be all about that during a Merged Gospel series that we believe God will orchestrate and pull together for this radio ministry. For all of you, it's going to be a community-wide Bible study, not to replace what God desires and has designed for you to do in your own church. We always highly recommend get involved in your church, go to Sunday school class. I mean, that's a pattern we should all have. Sunday school in church or church in Sunday school. Do your Sunday school lessons at church. If you're not in a Sunday school classroom setting at your church, you're missing the mark. I'll just be honest. You're missing the mark. Yeah. God wants you in His Word. But this is a unique way to gather like-minded Great News Radio listeners together to study God's Word. And I just know Jason's going to do a great job. I'll try to have it fun and coordinated and interesting. And we'll probably have some food and some other things just to draw you out, because I know when we gather together in God's name to study His Word, supernatural things can happen. And just the point that we can all come together and learn and grow and rub shoulders and interpret the Scriptures together and learn and find points of application is just exciting. And that's what this radio ministry is all about. So we'll have more to say about that in the coming days, but be praying about it, be thinking about it. I know I'm getting ahead. The cart's a bit ahead of the horse, but I know you had said, wouldn't it be neat, Mark, that after we did this series, that literally people became emboldened or empowered to maybe do this at their own church,
right,
or facilitate their own discussion. discussion merge gospel series in their church. So we don't want to take anything out of the church or away from the church, but I feel we can, as a radio ministry, be a unique catalyst to gather people together, to have that commonality of studying God's Word, of following the Lord Jesus. And then, as Jason has his own heart's desire, is to equip some of you maybe to go back into your own church, your own community, and replicate this. So we just want to be a catalyst and bring people together in a unique fashion. And I'm trying to find a centrally located building or something. I mean, we could meet at the Community Evangelical Free Church. We've talked about that. But I like the idea, especially if we can captivate some unchurched people or maybe some of my Jewish friends or others that just want to know a little more about Jesus in this very non-threatening setting. Mm-hmm. Maybe it could be at Judah Christian. The Y was my first choice because I know some staff members and some of the leadership there. But the accommodations won't work. But we're trying to find a centrally located building or facility where it's easy for people to come, easy for setup, and easy for us all to just orchestrate a time of learning that would be real conducive. So maybe you have an idea or a location, but probably Champaign, Urbana, Mahomet, at least for our setup and our purposes, would be ideal. So my next call maybe today will even be Judah Christian to see if maybe that could be the facility, mm-hmm. but it's something where it'll be easy for all of us to gather. So looking forward to that. I'm pretty pumped up, and I've been praying about it for some time, and I'm thoroughly enjoying my read through the merged gospel. So more to say in the coming days.
Well, me now?
Well, I know you have a verse or something, because you said if I was on a roll, you could maybe for the first time derail me. But
You know what? I do have this perspective because I have really young brothers. I mean, my brothers are now in their early 30s, early 20s. But when I was...
Define a brother.
When I was 17, 18... Well, I'm talking about a biological brother.
Oh.
But then I would also talk about metaphorical brothers and sisters and community brothers and sisters in Christ. Two different things. But I have young brothers. So when I was 16, 17, 18, my brothers were like 6, 7, 8. They were really young. So we have kind of a disconnect in terms of that. But I was thinking about this the other day in terms of the Bible. I was looking at all the different ways that there are brothers in the Bible. I mean, there is Cain and Abel are these brothers in the Bible. It says that Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant, gave birth to Cain. And she had this other son named Abel, and Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. And we all know the story. Something not so good happens between Cain and Abel. And yet God comes down, and he goes, what has happened here? You know, what's going on? And Cain, being very much like, now my other two brothers, Matthew and Michael, are very close in age, so I've heard them say this. But God says, where is your brother Abel? And Cain says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how many times do brothers say, and you have a brother, so, I mean, have you and your brothers ever said that before?
In various ways, yeah. I have an older and a younger, so I'm like the middle one.
So you've said that. So, because I don't have that perspective, but as I'm reading, I asked a bunch of people who had brothers, what is your perspective? Because then, I'm just reading through the Bible, and we've got Jacob and Esau, and they're in the womb, and they're wrestling and grabbing each other's feet. They come out, and there's this contentious brother relationship that happens. I think a real live problem. Maybe if you're a brother, you understand that relationship or kind of competition. And historically, we see that. I was reading the account of Jacob and Esau, and there was a historical account that's in these things called the Nuzi tablets, which were some tablets that they found out in the desert. And these tablets talk about two brothers, one brother who gave up his birthright to the other brother in exchange for food. It was during a great famine in the land. So there's another historical narrative about these contention between two brothers. And it was funny because it keeps going on. I mean, Joseph and his brothers, we all know the story. Joseph and his brothers had a lot of problems. They liked his coat. He didn't want to let them wear it. And, you know, it goes on. Moses and Aaron. Aaron was Moses' older brother. We have these brothers happening. And then we have this thing where Jesus tells a story about two brothers, about an older brother and a younger brother.
Is that James and John?
No. He's telling a story about the parable of the lost son. But in the son, there's two brothers. There's the younger son and the older son, two brothers again. And there's all these stories in the Bible about brothers. And I can read about brothers, you know, and I could go find a bunch of books. Obviously, I have some counseling books on familial dynamics, and I can talk to some people who have brothers. But I don't have a unique perspective about that. Again, because of the age gap between my own brothers and myself, I left the house while they were probably still coming up. I mean, they were young when I was there. I mean, it really wasn't a lot happening. So when I read this, sometimes I'm kind of at a loss for what it means to be brothers and almost be brother. I mean, what's the difference between your older brother and your younger brother in terms of age?
Like 2.5 years and about 5 years. But I'm very close to my younger brother. It's kind of...
So for Stu, you're 5 years?
Yeah. 4.5 to 5.
4.5 to 5 years. So some of those things that, like, you, when you read the Bible and there's brothers and things happen between brothers, did some of those things happen between you and Stu?
Some, but I moved out when I was 17, and so, yeah. There was...
So 5 years, you were 17, and what, he was 12?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but I mean, was there still kind of, what was that growing up like that? I mean, was that kind of...
It was, I'm kind of...
I want everybody to know how enjoyable this is for me right now, because he's squirming in his chair.
Yeah, I don't know where to go with this, because...
Well, here, let me help you out. Let me help you out here. Mark's brother sent me a bunch of stories because he said he really wanted to honor Mark. And he wanted, this is a dedicated day, by the way, for all of you who are listening. This is dedicated to two brothers.
And so, I was going to say, no birthday coming up.
No, no, no. Stu says that after their parents divorced, Stu said he was about 12. So he's entering that time when men needed more guidance from their fathers. And he was navigating, you know, he said, just the minefields of what it means to be coming into adolescence, coming into that time of needing to know what it means to be a man. And
now, this is Stu to you, so you guys are working behind the scenes.
And he said, about this time, this is when your mom moved to Arizona. And he said, Mark was already working at Jewel, and he was on his own. And he said you were in the promised land. But he said, but you always stayed pretty close contact, and you would talk about some fun things, and you would listen. He said that you listened to a thing called Dr. Demento,
yeah,
which was a DJ who played all kinds of different funny songs.
Yeah, we have our, yes.
But he says this. He says, in addition to our fun conversations and discussions, Mark would always keep my spiritual compass pointing towards Christ. He says, I still have the Ryrie Study Bible he sent each of us one Christmas, and he encouraged me to read through this Bible with him. He said, we would discuss about the books that we went through, and he says, this was the first time that I ever read the Bible. This Bible that Mark sent me was the first time I ever actually read the Bible. And he said, Mark never tried to act like our dad. Mark never tried to lord over me, but he did provide for me the spiritual guidance that I desperately needed during those teen years. He says, Stu says, I love Mark for doing this. Even when I was getting married, he says, I remember this deep memory, Mark pulling me aside and having a discussion about how a man needs to treat his wife on their wedding night. And he said, I can't help but see, he says, when I read and I see Jesus, and he says, when I listen to the programs and I hear Mark talk about Jesus, that Mark was always modeling Jesus for me. Jesus,
but you
want to
get
right
me balling
there
over the air? This is what your intent is.
but he says, you're always modeling Jesus. And he says, you know, he says, when I share my testimony with people, when Stu goes out and he's able to share his testimony or people ask him, he says, one of the main points of his testimony is a candid discussion that Mark had with him one time. He says, his parents took you guys to church and you guys got baptized and you guys did all those things. And he says here, he says, I was finishing my studies at ASU and I was looking to go to law school. And he goes, during one discussion I was having with Mark, I was saying, man, I said, I'm getting A's in all my classes. I'm doing so good. I'm going to go to law school. I'm going to graduate with honors. And he said, I really think the Lord's blessing me. And he said, Mark was real quiet for a few moments, and he looked him right in the eyes, and he said this simple question, why do you think the Lord is blessing you? He said, Stu says, I was kind of stunned by that question, since we were both raised Christian, and I thought I was a pretty good guy at the time. He said, but then Mark started asking some harder questions, like, when's the last time you went to church, or have you prayed with your wife recently? You know, are you putting Jesus first in your life? And Stu says, those were pretty tough questions, and I probably would have reacted as well as anybody challenging me in that moment. But he says, Mark made me be conscious that Jesus had to be Lord in my life. He made me be conscious that when I follow Christ, it wasn't just a little bit of me that followed Christ, it was all of me. And that if God was blessing me, was he blessing me because I was in obedience and because I was loving him with my whole heart, or was it just in deference to what I was doing? He closes his letter by this, and we're going to run out of time here, but he says, I have a family picture of Mark and I. He says, I'm about 7 or 8, and Mark's about 12 or 13 at the time. And he says, we're in a parade in Hinsdale, and Mark has his baseball uniform on, and he's pulling me in a wagon that was decorated as some sort of mini float. And he said, this captures Mark putting his brother first. even back then when he was supposed to be on a large float with all the other all-stars from the Little League. He says, this is somewhat prestigious. He said, but instead he was pulling me in a wagon somewhere near the end of the parade. And he said he never complained to our parents or never got mad that he had to do that like a lot of kids at that age. He said Mark would always put his brothers first. And he said that's because Mark would always, he would show us what Jesus was like. And so Stu just said he wants to dedicate what he calls his official Brother's Day to Mark. He says, Mark, I want you to know that I'm proud to have you as my friend. I'm proud to have you as my brother. And he says, I'm proud because of the work that you've done in my life to be able to tell you that you're my brother in Christ. Mm. And so Stu wants to dedicate this day to you.
Jeez. Well, thank you, God, for brothers.
Thank you, God, for Stu, who helped me to derail you.
I guess it's rare that I'm speechless, but thank you for conniving behind the scenes and, I guess, orchestrating this. I've been fortunate to have that beautiful relationship. I know Stu and I, many times we used to... Actually, we still do it to this day, but we'll share a part of a scripture and see if he can finish it. Like, I'll say, trust in the Lord, and he'll say, with all your heart. And I'll say, and lean not, and he'll say, on your own understanding, all your ways. And I'll say, acknowledge him. And we've done that back and forth for years. And we tend to actually text and email just about every day. And he usually, I think I've shared this over the air, he'll listen to our morning program, or the morning program, whoever may be the guest, or even Joey. But he will share each and every day some pithy comment on something that was shared or disclosed or divided or talked about. And so he's just a delight. I look forward to always seeing how he's going to critique.
And you guys have a real relationship because, I mean, you've talked to me many times about just some difficult ground you guys have walked through. I would share the Proverbs 17:17, which said, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. Mm-hmm. And just that a brother is born, and that's a brother, biological, metaphorical. It means it's all-inclusive, those we call brothers and sisters. But, you know, in Stu's stories here, as he says that, you guys were born together for adversity, walked that tough ground together in the highs and the lows. And in all those times, I mean, just I love the way that – look, because this is what I see in you now. I mean, I don't – these are the things I see in you now. I see you challenging. I see you asking people those tough questions about, you know, are you really following Jesus? And I see that's your overarching message continually here at this, even this radio ministry, even with this study in the Merged Gospels. Are you really following Jesus? And then how can we, with your servant's heart, come alongside you and help you do that? And you've done that in your own life with your own brother, and you do it through your radio ministry as you wrap your arms around your brothers and sisters in Christ. So I want to say thank you to you, Mark.
Jeez. I may have trouble.
Beamer has a testimony,
Beamer,
too.
Help me get my head out the door here. Well, I'm speechless, so... all glory to God. Thank you, God, for working in all of our lives. And I think of that other verse, and I know we're out of time, but that one where a friend sticks closer than a brother. But that's one of the neat aspects of Stu, is he is that close friend, too. He happens to be a biological brother, but a friend, a fellow disciple, a fellow follower of Jesus. Well, and as are you. So, well, thank you, God. To God be all the glory that any of us can represent him effectively or in unique and loving ways. So... hey, gotta go. SR News won't wait. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.